thank you for being with us this morning. And C is here with us, C. Sambar. This is one of those times, it's hard when you know somebody reasonably well to chat with them on the radio, because it's likely that you have not had a chance to meet C as you're listening. So I wanted to begin by just helping you get a sense of who C is. You were at Kappa, but now you're homeschooled to finish up your senior year, right?
Yes.
And when will you be done?
I will be done in May or June, but my plan is to take my GED test to be able to get my diploma. So kind of homeschooling is kind of loose there, but I'm not doing kind of traditional homeschooling, so yeah.
Nor a traditional use of the GED, but it works for what you want to do. What are some of your passions, generally speaking?
Yeah, I love filmmaking, and I love to use it for storytelling. I think audio is really great and video is really great, and when you put them together, you're really able to get a really full image of storytelling. And traditionally, I've loved doing more narrative projects, but I think I'm kind of moving into the more documentary space now, and I think there's really some pros and cons in both, but I think both are just beautiful storytelling avenues to get important stories out there. And as an activist myself, I love to go to protests and make sure my voice is heard.
Now, you're 18. When did you discover a love for storytelling? And I assume it's amplifying voices of other people that particularly attracts you.
Yes. I grew up wanting to be an actor, and I actually went to Pittsburgh Kappa for theater to go into acting. But that sort of developed into more just general storytelling and art form. And because I wanted to make sure my story could get out there as a trans person, I came out when I was 13, when I was in middle school. And that kind of passion and like almost my self-advocacy I had to do to get my health care, to get my name used in school when I was in middle school, was really hard, and that inspired me to be able to fight for other people. And that really continued this year when I actually lost my access to healthcare back in June, and by UPMC when they stopped their gender clinic. And I think I was living in a state of privilege because I had access to my healthcare here in Pennsylvania, that when I lost my healthcare, it opened my eyes that there are so many issues in this country surrounding trans people, that they do not have access to their healthcare, and especially now, that I needed to use what my voice and my art form in film to be able to inspire and uplift people's voices who don't have a voice.
Yeah, it's a very noble might not be quite the right word, but it's a gift, a blessing, to be able to do that when people who might not have the ability to share their stories widely or in a way that will penetrate the minds of people who need to understand. That's something you're very good at. So to be able to do that is really important. So I know you set out, because we talked about it briefly, to do a project where your quite ambitious goal is to reach all 50 states and talk to, well, I'll let you talk about it rather than I.
Yeah, Transcribe really came to me this summer. My mom, for the past few years, was like, as a filmmaker, you need to tell stories. You need to make a documentary about trans youth. And I was always like, that's so cliche, the trans person making a story about trans people. And I was like, I want to make my weird little films. And when I lost my healthcare and I kind of went on this like activist like role, I kind of grew into that. I realized that I needed to use my voice to tell these stories. And there have been so many documentaries about trans people, but normally they've been very small scale. And I knew if I wanted a fuller picture of what it means to be a trans young person today, I need to reach every state in the most rural areas and the most urban areas to be able to get a fuller perspective. Also covering people of different races, if they have disabilities, if they're neurodivergent or not, if they are lower economic status or higher, if they're conservative, if they are liberal, because those are all different perspectives of what it means to be trans young person today. And it has to be 50 states, I feel like, because each state and each place has a different perspective of what it means to be living today in the current political climate as a young trans person. And yeah, and also like covering trans women, trans men, non-binary people. I just want a full perspective. So I'm getting multiple different people in every state. And it's been really great being able to do that.
Yeah. So it's very easy for somebody to assume this person is different than I am in this way. And everybody who's different than I am in this way must all be exactly like one another. And as I think we know, listening, and I know you know, see, that simply isn't true. There is, I always get a little chill when somebody talks about the black vote or the Christian vote. These are not monolithic groups, nor is the trans community a monolithic group, not medically, not politically, not in any way. So your approaching the project in the way you are is really cool. Now, the cliche question, how many states have you been to so far?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the beginning of that journey. I've been to, and I'll just list them off. I've been to Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Kansas. And actually, that was my first leg of the trip. And it was really great. It was like a lot of like, we were doing GoFundMes, we were raising money. Because that's like the big hurdle of like, how are we going to get across the country is monetary things. And it was great being able to get that support for this first like leg. And the original plan, we weren't supposed to go to Kansas, but the day we left, a horrific bill passed in Kansas where trans people, if they had their gender changed on their driver's license would no longer work. And so they had, and that was like within 1 week of that bill passing, like all the trans people who had their gender markers changed had to change, get a new like driver's license, which is also a form of ID because, so now you're changing a form of ID as well. So it's a very like changing story by the minute. So it's a lot of like, I have to make a call on the road now being like, we're going to be in Oklahoma. Let's just go to Kansas now because this is an important story. And I interviewed 23 people in 12 days.
Wow.
Across and all those states.
And that's about six, I think, six states. And also challenging states to get to know. Do you have any initial thoughts? I guess there's so much I'm curious about. Some of these, I'm guessing, are rural areas where healthcare as well as peer support might not be as available as it is to you. But that's just me speculating. I'm curious what you found in terms of differences from Pittsburgh as well as just differences across the areas that you visited.
Yeah. There was a young trans guy named Ellison that I met in Chicago. And he, this year, just had to move from Texas. He had to uproot, him and his family had to uproot and move to Chicago to find access to healthcare, to find access to a safe school. And not everybody is able to do that, but they were able to because of how bad Texas was. Not only he had like issues with mental health because of that, he had issues with a lot of stuff at school specifically, the point of having to move. And this is a common story. I talked to someone else in Indiana where there is no access to healthcare, and they have to every few months drive to Chicago to get healthcare. So they are like, Illinois is like a big state where people are like fleeing to, which is a common story across the Midwest of where they are states where they don't have access to healthcare. They have to go to other states, and it's a lot of cost. It's a lot of hardship because of that for the families. But it's also this very important story that's happening right now where Pennsylvania is sort of dealing with that after UPMC cut off healthcare for trans youth under 19. But it is kind of, but there has been more of a storied history of lack of healthcare in the Midwest, which is very interesting and definitely different. And when I went to Oklahoma, it was another story of just, there's been so much trauma in Oklahoma over the past, ever since Oklahoma was Oklahoma. And there was just this shared respect for each other. But they said something very interesting about growing up in the Midwest, about it's always love thy neighbor until that neighbor does something unfavorable.
You heard that in multiple states, or that sentiment. That's interesting.
And it's like there is such a tight-knit community, specifically in the South and the Midwest, but that can break. Where here in Pittsburgh, we might not immediately have that tight-knit community, but it's harder for it to break just because of someone's identity.
This is C. Sauber, who is 18, and is in the process of a project called Transcribe. She plans on visiting all 50 states and getting first-person interviews with trans youth about school, identity, family, healthcare, and kind of a state of the union, so to speak. And it's a really ambitious project. Is your final goal to have a film? I would imagine it would have to be an hour or so to cover all of this. And you might not be there yet to even begin to think about what the product. Sometimes you got to get the footage first. But do you know where you'd like to get to?
Yeah, the main goal is to make an hour and a half to two-hour like feature-length documentary. And there are so many participants. There will only be like little bits of each interview within it. But it's supposed to kind of be a whole perspective of what it means to be a trans young person today. And the goal after editing is to get eventual distribution. I already have guaranteed like film festivals, like Real Q Film Festival here in Pittsburgh, who will be screening it once it's finished. But the goal is to get it in front of as many eyes as possible, because I think there's so much to be said about if we learn about each other, there will be less hatred. And if we deal with our own ignorances, and it can help a lot. So I'm hoping to get this to as many eyes as possible, not just trans people, but a lot of cis people, a lot of people who have never met a trans person before. Because a lot of people who are ignorant just say, oh, I've never met a trans person before, so they don't understand. And a lot of the trans people that I've asked, what do you wish people knew about you? They're like, I wish people knew I was just human, that I just want to go to school and learn, that I just want to fall in love, that I just want to live. And I think that's a big part of it, and I want to make sure that message is out there for everybody.
I do think this kind of film could be made by any difference or any characteristic that people have that is misunderstood by other people. And I don't want to make direct comparisons because every situation is different. I think about blind people who I know, and people really have misperceptions. This is meant to be apples and apples, but they really have misperceptions. You mean blind people can use computers? Blind people, you know, are able to work on cars, are able to play darts. You know, there's all, and I'm just picking a few examples, to be able to shed light on a group that's often lumped together and assumptions are made about that particular group, right? And here you are kind of covering the group comprehensively, but also looking at the nuances and differences in a way that is really significant, I think.
Yeah. Trans people are human, and trans people can be bad people too, you know?
Like, yes.
And, like, that's okay. And just because there's one bad trans person, that isn't like a whole, you know, that doesn't say something about the whole community.
You raise a really good point, and I don't want to attribute. I have a friend who spent a lot of his life in a wheelchair, and we used to talk quite seriously and directly about that particular physical disability. And he said, you have to realize there's people in wheelchairs who are mean or who are not. Like, just as there are throughout all of life, there's nice people, there's people who aren't so nice, there's open-minded people, there's people who may not be open-minded. You shouldn't look at a person just because they happen to be on a wheelchair and assume they come with a certain set of personal characteristics. I'll never forget the way he said that to me. I'm curious, and this is Sisan Bar, are there ways that people can follow your work online?
Mm-hmm. You can follow Transcribe Documentary on Instagram at TRANS. CRIBE period DOCUMENTARY transcribe dot documentary. And that's kind of the main source there on Instagram.
That's a good way to do it. Now, maybe 10 years ago, some teens I was working with in Johnstown did a documentary about a trans boy in Johnstown, and it was Richland High School, actually, and some of the issues he had had. But one of the key points, and it was made by a filmmaker who put together a film, I'll get the name for you, I can't think of it offhand. The point he was making is without acceptance and without a community that is ideally welcoming, if not just tolerant, but ideally welcoming, what's going to happen over time is communities that aren't so are going to face a bit of a drain of people who want to live in the community because they have a difference and they're able to live in the community, or people who don't want to live in a community that is not tolerant, whether they themselves require that or not. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And his thesis was small rural towns might find themselves losing a lot of population, or they might find children that go to college never come back because. And I'm just curious if you've seen anything like that or can relate to that.
This was a common story across the Midwest. A lot of people told me that after leaving the town that they weren't going to come back and that they wanted to move to a bunch of multitude of different states and find refuge of sorts. But they also talk about how growing up in these towns, they found such beautiful community and they found such home, and they don't want to leave where they are from because they have family there, they have community there, they have friends there, but they're almost being forced to. And it becomes very emotional because they have to balance being safe themselves and kind of leaving their community and leaving their family behind. And I think it's a common story for people across, because these are beautiful states. I loved going to the Midwest because these are beautiful states. They have such rich culture. But it's sad that a lot of people have to leave there. And there, don't get me wrong, there were some people who were like, I want to stay here and I want to make a difference. But there were some people who were like, I'm tired of having to fight every day to live in a place that I do love, but I'm not allowed to love anymore. And it's upsetting.
Yeah, and Johnstown, Richland, the teens that did the documentary that I mentioned did a great job. And the point, I think they were trying to help persuade the seemingly unpersuadable that this is important on so many different levels. Important in terms of respecting your fellow humans and simply getting along, but they wanted to bring up the whole economic factor of what happens if you're not welcoming people. See, it's been really fun to talk to you and to learn more about the project. I want to be sure it's transcribe.documentary.
Yes.
At Instagram.
On Instagram, yeah.
So that's the best way to look at it. Anything else you wanted to mention? We just have about a minute left.
Yeah, I actually brought a newspaper today from Oklahoma. And
oh, look at that.
I was staying with a family there, and this is from about 2 years ago. Nex Benedict died in Oklahoma. And there was so many vigils and there's so much community. And I just want to remind everybody, even in the places where you don't feel welcome, there is a community there for you. And just like keep on going and keep on fighting, because you deserve to be alive and you deserve to have your story be told. And I'm going to leave this here for you.
Thank you.
And yeah, because this story of Next deserves to be told.
I appreciate it. And I'm going to find that documentary for you. I think you'd enjoy hearing it. See, Sambar, thank you for being with us today.